And I'm really excited he's here today. I really believe the timing is perfect, that we're going to talk about prayer, we're going to talk about revival, we're going to talk about doing what it takes to change this nation. So let's give your warmest Tree of Life welcome to Greg Fitz. Thank you.
Amen. Well, it's great to be here. I appreciate you guys taking the time and making the effort to have this conference. I know it involves a lot of work and a lot of volunteers, a lot of help, but it'll be worth it in the long run. When we invest into natural things, we reap, take natural things and invest them into the kingdom, we get an eternal reward, an eternal return. And so I am excited to spend some time here with you this week, sowing into the things of the Spirit. And we're happy to see you here tonight. I am getting to know Ben and his wife and their family, and looking forward to making some new friends here in the UK. And I was not prepared for when I was picked up at the hotel, he sent Richard to get me. But after hearing him speak, you can't judge a book by its cover, you know. There's really some substance in there. So, everybody's been very nice. And I've heard of Marie Helene, I don't know if I can say that right. Haven't I heard of you for at least 30 years? You've been doing what you do in France for a long time. And so we just appreciate time to get together with the family of God. And I've got a lot of things to share with you. I'm going to give you just a little bit of history, then we're going to pray and get into the message. And there's somebody back there. Wow. He didn't pull, he pushed. Unless you're outside. I've been traveling for almost 30 years and preaching in different countries, over 25 countries now, and I started when I was 12, so you can see that, whatever. But over the course of the years, there's been a lot of revelation, a lot of things that I've collected, and I just really felt like I needed to get some things down. So I wrote a book, which I'll say more about, but we've begun, I've started teaching at Andrew Womack's in, I believe, 1998 as just a guest teacher, and over the years, Andrew's the only person I've ever seen that would send out somebody else's video for his video of the month. And for years, when I was there, they would take my videos and send them all over the world, and it just shows you what kind of person he is. And I would have done the same thing as you. If I'd had gotten a video, I'd want it to be Andrew. And if it wasn't, I'd put it to the side. And I asked him that one time. I said, why do you send out my video? He goes, oh, they've heard me. He said, it's good for them to hear somebody else. I said, okay, fine with me. And so, and Ashley, I think Ashley Terrades. Do y'all know Ashley Terrades? Wow. You know, Ashley is like a missionary to the United States. We love Ashley. But everybody here speaks just like Ashley. I'm going to preach to you today in American English, and I hope I don't need an interpreter. Are you ready? So I'm going to just kind of open this conference. Again, it's such an honor to be here, and I appreciate the effort that's gone into making this possible. We're going to make the most of our time together and talk about one of the subjects that's really near to my heart, which is revival. And I don't know where you are in this whole thought process, but we need a move of God. We need a visitation of God, or you could use the term awakening. Our world needs another awakening. Europe needs it. The U.S. needs it. In fact, we're not going to make a lot of inroads without another great spiritual awakening. And God's not holding out on us. How many of you knew that? God loves the world. He's not angry. He's not uptight. He's not upset. But there are certain things that I believe we can do to see God's glory manifested in our generation. How many of you care about this generation? This one's ours. Yeah. And we need to do what's necessary as the church of the Lord Jesus Christ to see him glorified in our lifetime. And I live for that. How about you? I believe for that. I strive for that. And we're going to make some progress together, I believe, this week. Are we in agreement? So I live in Tulsa, Oklahoma. I go to a church when I'm home, and I love my pastor. I love my church. It's World Outreach Church, Pastor Mark Brzee. And my wife is there now, and we have a big conference starting next week at our church, a missions conference. And I have two daughters. When I met my wife, she was a widow. I was 28 years old, single, traveling, and I met my wife. And eventually we got married, and I had a wife and two kids in one day. God can make it up to you, you know. And so we got married. She had two girls, and I became their father. They were just at our house this past week. And so we had fun with the kids and now grandkids. So I know I'm not old enough to have grandkids. My wife is. I'm just kidding. And so I said, she wanted to be called Granny. And I said, nope, they're not calling you. I'm not going to be married to a granny, so that's not going to work. So she's Gigi, and I don't really know what that means. But we've just had a big week. It's really a lot of fun. Grandkids are a lot more fun than kids are, you know. You know, when you have kids, it's, you know, what do they need? What do they need? We want to take care of them, give them whatever they need. When you have grandkids, it's whatever they want. Anything they want. Surely, in a week's time, I can be the favorite grandpa on earth. So I went to the bank, and I took out a loan, and I said, what do you want? I'm kidding. Let's do this. Let's stand up together. And I want to pray, and then I'm going to share with you and I love to teach on redemption. In fact, my book is about redemption. I call it the greatest story ever told. It's a love story. But in certain situations, I want to talk about the move of God, and I want to do that here tonight. To me, this is holy ground, and I could teach a whole lot of different things, but to speak of God's move and God's manifested glory on the earth is holy ground. And it's something that you and I don't really have to have. But there are people out there today that if there's not a great visitation, if there's not great manifestations of God's power, they'll never make it to heaven. And I'd like to see everybody get a chance to see God and to know the God that we know. And do whatever we can do as people, as his people on earth, to allow that to happen. Praise God. So let's pray. Father, thank you so much for all that you've done for us. Thank you for the word. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for giving us your Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us and to teach us. And as we enter this conference together, we do it with open hearts and open minds, with gratefulness to you for all that you are. Help us to be the people that you've made us to be, to take our place in the kingdom and to fulfill your will in our lives so that we can finish our course with joy and hear the Lord say, well done, thou good and faithful servants. We thank you for this opportunity, and we give you the praise and glory for everything that's done in this conference. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. Amen. You can be seated. And if you would, I'd like to start James chapter 5. James chapter 5, and I just want to just lay a little groundwork for where I'm going to go this week, and just take a few minutes tonight and look at the big picture. James chapter 5 and verse 7, James says, therefore be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. Did you know the Lord's coming? Evidently, they were so excited about the coming of the Lord, he was saying, having to say, be patient, he's coming. That's kind of foreign to us today, you know. Back when I was in Bible school, I had people praying, please, Lord, don't come till I get married, you know. There's always something that people wanted to do, but in James's day, they wanted to see the return of the Lord, and there's something healthy about that. How many of you could say, "Come, Lord Jesus"? Jesus is coming, and he's going to come whether we like it or not. He's going to come whether people believe in it or not. He's going to come whatever your view of end times is. Jesus is coming back. In fact, Jesus started it, and he's going to finish it. Nobody's going to stop that. And so this really is the end of a series of events here that he's listing in James 5. The Lord's going to come. But notice what he said is going to happen before the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives the early and the latter rain. So there are a few things that he mentions here, culminating with the return of the Lord. So the Lord's going to come back, but he said the farmer's waiting. Do you know who the farmer is? The farmer's God the Father. He said the Lord's going to come back, but the farmer is waiting for the precious fruit of the earth. That would be souls. That would be the souls of men and women that are out there right now. In fact, we have the greatest population explosion that has ever occurred in the history of this planet. There are more people alive today on planet Earth than have ever lived before. This is a great harvest field, and we're right in the middle of it. But the farmer is waiting for the precious fruit of the earth to come in. He's waiting for a harvest. He's waiting for souls. He's waiting for an ingathering. He's not done yet. And then he goes on to say that the harvest is waiting for the early and the latter rain. So you got all these events. You got the farmer, which is God and us right here, right now. And you've got to have a rain, an early and a latter rain. And then you're going to have a harvest as a result of the rain. So the Lord's going to come back, but he's waiting for the Father. And the Father's waiting for the harvest, and the harvest is waiting for the rain. What's the rain waiting for? I believe we have influence over where it rains, over how much it rains. Now, the rain's been given. We know that the rain has been poured out, and it is raining on the earth. But we, as the people of God, have influence over where it rains. In other words, you could say, well, God's already provided salvation for us, and he's already said he wants to work in our lives mightily, healing us and saving us and giving us victory and peace. Yeah, but God works in every person's life as much as they allow him to. So God's already done what he's done in the area of redemption, and it's available for everybody, but God only works in your life or in anyone's life as much as they allow him to. I believe that we as Christians can allow God to work in our nations in a greater measure than ever before. Why? Because we have authority and we have influence with heaven. God honors our prayers and our faith. And if I've studied revival, and I have studied a lot of them, I can tell you this, that really the one thing that every revivalist agree on, and I mean throughout history, and it's hard to get preachers throughout history to agree on anything. But throughout history, revivalists after revivalists, they all agree on one thing, that revival, awakening, comes in answer to prayer. That is the one common thread. Well, if it took revival, or if it took prayer for them to have revival in the 1850s and the 1800s and the 1900s, then I believe it's going to take a certain level of prayer today to see that same result. Amen? God honors the prayers of his people. Jesus said over and over again, pray, ask. You have not because you ask not, James says. Jesus said, when the Son of Man comes, is he going to find faith? Pray. He gives us the example of the woman of importunity that wouldn't stop, wouldn't give up, stood in the gap. There are principle after principle. Paul told every church nearly that he wrote a letter to. I'm praying for you. I'm praying for you. And then he did the unthinkable. Then the Apostle Paul, the great, the great Apostle Paul tells these people who are his converts, his children, his churches, pray for me. What? No, I'm praying for you. And then he said, pray for me. And we could take time. I could show you example after example where Paul said, I'm praying for you, Romans. I'm praying for you, Thessalonians. I'm praying for you, Colossians. I'm praying for you. He told Timothy, I pray for you day and night. Well, why would he do that? Because it helps. I mean, he's not wasting time. Paul didn't have time to waste. He was busy. He was writing the Bible and starting the church in the Gentile world. He had plenty to do, but he prayed. And he prayed constantly, and he prayed day and night, and he prayed for people that he loved. He prayed for the people he cared for. He prayed for the people that were under his care, and I believe he prayed for people that he was going to minister to. He told the Galatians, I travail in birth again for you until Christ be formed in you. There's a lot of prayer going on. You'd think if Paul, the apostle Paul, needed prayer, he could just pray for himself, wouldn't you? That's what I'd think. In fact, why don't we just make this personal? Why don't you pray for yourself and I'll pray for myself? Because that's not how prayer works. Paul said, I'm praying for you. Pray for me that utterance may be given. Pray for me that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery. Pray for me. I'm praying for you. Why? Because prayer is a great crisscross. Everybody's praying for everybody else, and it allows God. We're not forcing God. We're not asking God to do something he doesn't want to do, but it allows God to influence in areas where he may not be influencing right now. How many of you have, this is anecdotal evidence, but how many of you had a praying mother or a praying grandmother who wouldn't quit praying for you? How many testimonies you've heard where, you know, people ran from God and they said, my mama would never quit praying because her prayers reached out and protected and helped and released. And there was this divine influence that was released on someone's life because somebody else wouldn't quit praying. How many of you know that could still happen? And that influence can be exerted on an individual, and I believe it can be exerted on a nation. I'm glad we're here together right now. Because I can tell you, America's in trouble. Just like Europe is in trouble. Our modern world as we know it is being shaken up. We're in the middle of a seasonal change, a change of season. You want me to prove it? I'll give you two words two different areas to prove to you that the world is changing rapidly. Brexit and Donald Trump. Neither one of those things would have ever predicted or expected. But here we are. Say, what are your views? I don't even care. I'm just telling you the world is changing. There are forces at work right now on all sides. And the stake, the spoils, are the souls of men. Please listen to me. This is not about East versus West. It's not about communism versus capitalism. All the forces that are being arrayed today are after souls. And we got to rise above all this political chatter and quit taking sides and fighting these lower battles. This is bigger than you and me. This is about God Almighty, and it's about souls. And there's nobody that's more pro-people than God. He loves people. The farmer waits. The farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth. Isn't that encouraging? Let me just give you a preview of the end of all things. God started this, and God's going to finish it. And in the end, God is going to get what he wanted. Sometimes things get real complicated, don't they? You're not sure where to weigh in. Listen, you don't have to weigh in on every issue. Did you know that? Let me give you some advice. Just say, I don't care. Or say, I don't know and I don't care. How about that? You don't have to weigh in on everything. You've only got enough emotions for so much of this tension. And the enemy wants to get everybody mad about something. And everybody mad at somebody else. And every group mad at some other group. and keep them all in an uproar until their life is over. And I'm not going to play that game. I'm here to see God's kingdom expanded. I want to reach people, and I don't care where they came from or where they're going or how they got here. God loves people. There are people in America, they want us to be mad at Mexicans. I'm not going to be mad at Mexicans. Why? I love Mexicans. My wife is Hispanic. We're doing what we can to solve the world problems. You're just, We love God loves people. And if they cross the border and our country's too stupid to stop them, I'm not going to kick them out. I'm going to try to get them saved. I spent a lot of money going to reach them. I'm glad they're coming to me now. I'll just wait for them to cross. Because I'm here not to build a nation. I'm here to build the kingdom. Are you with me? We're here to build the kingdom. We're about something more than just... And I'm very patriotic. Don't get me wrong. I love my country. And I love what America and Britain has represented to the world. Thank God for the forces of nations. And but there's something bigger than that. Let the politicians fight over that. I'm here to preach the gospel. I'm here to tell the whole world God loves you. God wants you. God does have something in mind for your life. Yes, he does. What is it? He wants to save you and heal you and bless you and love you and bring you into the family. He's got a lot of plans for you. Listen, we got to realize the stakes here. We're not, forget the politics. We're dealing with a world that doesn't even believe God exists. They don't have good politics. They can't even get the basics right. You know where it leads when you don't admit there's a God? Everything else is debatable. Then everything is fought out in court, and then people don't even know which bathroom to go to. Are you serious? You want to argue about which bathroom to use? I think we ought to just start over. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. There's a God in heaven that made us. And he defines things like male and female. Like he defines right and wrong. He defines love and hate. He's the one that defines. If you don't have God, you can't agree on anything. I got to take you to Ephesians 1. Ephesians chapter 1. We're just kind of getting our feet wet here tonight. Is this okay? I want to give you the big picture. In Ephesians 1, verse 4, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, he, that would be God, the farmer who's waiting for the precious fruit of the earth, he chose us in him before the foundation of the world. Let's think some big thoughts. Before there was anything, there was God. God has always been, and he will always be. And in eternity past, before there was a universe, before there was any time, before there was anything that you see here around us, there was God, Almighty God. He's always existed in that three-part personality, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And before there was anything, he chose us in him. He chose us. He began to create so that he could have us. He created the heavens and the earth so he could have a place to put us. He created one man and one woman so that he could have a human race that would be us. All of this, it's not so complicated. You know why all this is here? You know why the nations are raging and people are imagining vain things? You know why there's all this? Because God wanted a family. He chose us in him before the foundation of the world that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. And oh, what a price he's paid to make that possible. Hasn't he? A lesser God would have given up. A lesser God would have walked into the Garden of Eden and said, you have blown your only chance. You're living in paradise and you threw it all away. I'm going to destroy this world and I'm going to send you to hell right now. But not our God. He never quits. He never gives up. And he stayed with it, didn't he? In fact, when God walked into the Garden of Eden, after man sinned, he said, I've already got the answer. And the answer's on the way. Isn't that right? The answer is on the way. Before there was a world, there was an answer. Before there was a problem, there was an answer. Before we knew what the problem was, there was an answer. His name is Jesus. God said, I'm not going to give up on you. I'm going to fix you. And I'm going to pay for it myself. You see, because he chose us in him from the foundation of the world. God chose you in him before the foundation of the world. That we should be holy and without blame. First thing we did as the human race, the first man and first woman, you know what they did? They became unholy and full of blame. It didn't stop God. Verse 5. Having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself. He chose us. He said, here's what it's going to be like. I'm going to adopt you. You're going to be my sons and daughters. That was God's choice. There was no nations back then. There was no committee. There was no board. There was no UN. There was no EU. There was nobody there to tell God what he could or couldn't do. And God decided before time began, I want a family. And I want them to be my sons and daughters. And I'll pay any price to make this possible. And he did. He paid the ultimate price. He predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself. I like this part. According to the good pleasure of his will. God said, I was happy to do it. I wanted to do it. Did you know sin didn't push God into a corner? He didn't wake up one day and Adam sinned. He said, oh no, what am I going to do now? He already knew it was going to happen. He already knew what it was going to cost. And he'd already decided, I'm going to pay the price. And Jesus had already stepped forward and said, Father, I'll pay for their sins. You go ahead and make them. And therefore the Bible says he was the lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Jesus. Jesus. You see, there's a lot more going on in the world today than the world would lead you to believe. You got all these conspiracy theories. You got those people here, they're scared of their own shadow. They're telling you what the government's doing, and it's like, what? Where? What? You go to, anybody ever heard of Roswell, New Mexico? Roswell, New Mexico. It's like the birthplace of the belief in aliens. So I've been to Roswell, and I drove by this alien museum, and a UFO museum, and I wish I had gone in, because what do you put in a UFO museum? There isn't any artifacts, you know what I mean? There is absolutely no proof of any aliens anywhere in the world, and yet they got a UFO museum and people believing in it, and it's like, for what? Conspiracies. No, it's not that complicated. Sure, there's a lot of things going on under the radar, but I'm going to tell you what's happening today. God is building a family! And when everything you see is changed, and when every nation bows its knee, when all things come to an end, and they will, because the Lord is coming, God's going to get what he wanted, which is you and me, and as many people as we can cram into the kingdom until the coming of the Lord. For the husbandman, he waits for the precious fruit of the earth. That's what's happening right now. Don't get discouraged. Don't get distracted. Don't get confused. It's very simple. There's all this static and all this stuff coming out of governments of the world that don't even believe in God. And it's all designed to stir people up so they can't focus on the real problem, which is sin. And there's only one answer to that problem. His name's Jesus. And the end result of that is family. And that's what it's all about. I just think you needed somebody to come all this way to tell you how simple things really are. Relax. Don't try to change everybody's views and make everybody agree with you or everybody agree with Richard. I marveled at the wisdom that proceeded out of his mouth tonight. It was very good. But it's all right if we don't all agree on everything. That's secondary. The main thing is that the Father gets what the Father wanted. That yes. The Father yes. gets the family yes. that He paid for, that He desired. And you and I have said yes. Who else is coming after us? Who else in our generation needs to be reached? Jesus said it this way, except they see signs and wonders, they will not believe. There's a certain segment of our population that fits that category. And you know what Jesus proceeded to do? Signs and wonders. Bring it on. Latter rain. Bring it on. Revival. Bring it on. Call it whatever you want. Awakening. But in the end, it's going to be harvest. For the husband waits for the precious fruit of the earth till it receives the early and the latter rain. And then the Lord will come back. Well, are you saying that this is the last generation? Could this be the last generation? It's your last one. It's my last one. And frankly, as I've studied revival over the last couple of years, I've gotten a little jealous of other generations that had more of the manifestation of God than we've had. I feel sorry for our young people today. They haven't seen the moves of God like I saw. They haven't seen the manifestations like I've seen and some of you've seen. And no wonder they're confused. We need to make it more clear. And they need to see the raw power of God in demonstration. If that comes in answer to prayer, was it not the apostles that began to cry out and say, Lord, stretch forth your hand to heal, that mighty signs and wonders may be done in the name of your holy child Jesus? Didn't they pray that? They didn't just say, oh, well, God will do what he wants. No, they prayed that. And you know what happened? By the hands of the apostles, many signs and wonders were wrought among the people. And immediately the apostles began to speak the word of God with boldness. Their prayers were answered. Can I give you one more picture of what's happening today? 1 John 3:1. It's like John took up right here in where Paul left off in Ephesians 1. And John said this, the apostle of love. He said, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us. He says, look at this love. Look at this kind of love. Look at the love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. God didn't just want to have us. He didn't just want us here on this planet taking up space. He didn't just want to make us and see what we would do with our lives. He didn't just want to do some cruel experiment to see how much we would suffer before we died. God wanted us to be his children, and he wanted to be our Father. God wanted that. Behold, what manner of love. Isn't that amazing? God didn't just want us. He wanted to be totally responsible for us and be associated with us as our Father, and he wanted us to be his children. When you accepted Jesus, you are facilitating God's dream. Isn't that a great thought? Sometimes we get all focused on our dreams and our destiny and our plans or whatever, but God had a dream. He wanted a family. And you're helping make that possible. Isn't that great? And in the end, it's not going to be so much about what you did as it is going to be about what he did. In fact, it's just real simple. If you were the most successful person on earth, if you reached the head of your field of endeavor, whatever that would be, and you don't become a child of God, you've missed your destiny. I don't care how successful, how much you help, what you do for society, if you miss this one point, making Jesus Lord of your life and making God your Father, you've missed your destiny. On the other hand, you could be the biggest, make the biggest mess out of your life and do everything wrong. But if you get this right, it's going to be okay. Amen. Are you with me? I don't care how many mistakes you've made or where you think you've gone. You could have you could just be living in a life of regret of what you could have done or should have done or would have done. But if you got this right, it's not going to matter. Why? Because I did something for him. I'm becoming who I was born to be. That is a child of God. Isn't that wonderful? There's not so much about our performance. Now, once you get saved, once you become a child of God, there's no limit to what you can do for him. It's certainly not about that. It's never about that. Remember the story of the prodigal son? Remember that story? The prodigal son said, give me my inheritance. I don't really want your influence, but I would like your money. Kind of sounds like children today, doesn't it? Just give me my inheritance and I'm going to leave. And off he went with his father's money out of his father's house. Don't want the father messing with me. I just want to go do what I want to do. And he did what he wanted to do and he ended up in a pig pen. And he came to himself, the Bible says, and gathered himself up. He didn't have anything left. And he went back to father's house. He had this speech prepared. I'm going to apologize. And I'm going to ask him to just hire me as a servant, because his servants have it better than me. And he goes back and he's trying to tell the father how many mistakes he's made. And the father didn't even care about that, did he? He's like, shut up, son. Shut up. Just shut up. But I did this wrong. And shut up. But I could have done this. Like, shut up. I don't care about that. I don't care about that. We're here to celebrate. Celebrate? What do you mean celebrate? I'm celebrating. You missed the point, boy. You didn't understand what I wanted from the beginning. You see, I don't care if you messed everything up. I don't care if you didn't get an education. I don't care if you wasted the money. I don't care if you've made our name a bad name in some places. I don't care about that, because all I ever wanted was you. And today, you're back. And now I get what I wanted. So yes, we're going to put a ring on your finger. I'm going to put the royal robe on you, and you let me celebrate your return. Because this is my dream. It's not your dream. It's my dream. And in the end, one of the statements that God's going to make with this whole creation and stamp on all of eternity is God gets what he wants. And he's going to make an example out of you to make that statement. I mean, Jesus is going, you could read it in Revelation, it's exciting, but after the whole thing is redone and everything is new, Jesus is going to step back and go, it's finished. You know it's not finished yet. Then he's going to say this, I'm the Alpha and I'm the Omega. I started it and I will finish it. You know what that means? North Korea is not going to finish it. Russia's not going to finish it. China's not going to finish it. Jesus started it, and Jesus will finish it. And it's not over until he says it's over. When he says it's finished, then it's finished. It's going to be beautiful. It's going to be amazing. We're in this process right now. We're closer to that day than we've ever been before. But I don't know about you. I don't want to leave anybody behind. You know, I don't need revival. I'm going to go to heaven. How about you? In fact, the longer I live, the more I'm blessed. I like my life. I don't really need the trouble. But deep down inside, there's just this stirring. And that's why I like coming to places like, I don't always get to talk about these things, but there's a stirring in me. I want to see the glory of God in my generation. I don't care how much trouble it causes. I don't care how many people hate me. I don't care how it encroaches upon my wonderful life. I don't care. I want a demonstration of the glory of God in my generation. My prayer is, Holy Spirit, show me what to do. Show me how to make this possible for you. And with all the honesty that I can declare this to you, I believe the key is prayer. I can't get beyond that. There's the prayers of the saints that are necessary, not to force God, but to release God, not to work on God, but to work with God. And literally release the will of God that he's already determined to do, but he's not been able to do it. See, he can't move in your life till you let him. And the same probably could be said about a society. So let me read this to you in Acts chapter 2, and this sort of At least it gives expression to the picture I have in my spirit. This was on the day of Pentecost. That was a notable day. In fact, if you want to talk about rain in the spiritual sense, that's when it started raining. The spiritual rain had not even existed. It was like before the flood of Noah. Man, you ought to be thanking God that you're part of the new covenant. I am so glad I don't have to preach Noah's message. You know what I'm saying? I mean, first of all, God told Noah to build a boat that was too big to move in his yard. How many of you know how long it took him? 100 years. That's a long time to build a boat. That's a long time to preach righteousness. And it's a long time to not have a single convert. And all your message is, God's going to judge you. God's going to judge you. They're like, how's that going to happen? It's going to rain. And there's going to be a flood. And they said, what's rain? Never rained. It had never rained. There was a time on earth when it had never rained. But once the flood came, it's been raining ever since. And there was a time on earth where it had never rained spiritually before. And then on the day of Pentecost, Peter stood up and said, these are not drunk as you supposed. As you suppose, it's only the third hour of the day. But this is that was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. It's going to rain. Only this time it's not a rain of judgment. It's a rain of mercy. It's a rain of grace. It's a Holy Ghost rain. And did you know it's been raining on the earth ever since? The day of Pentecost? It's been raining ever since. And it's just like natural rain. Where it rains, there's fruitfulness. And where it doesn't rain, there's desert and barrenness. There's no place on earth that's so dry that rain wouldn't fix. And that's true physically and spiritually. So I don't know what's happening here exactly, all of it. I mean, you've had some bad reports in the news about what's happening in your city. But it's nothing that rain won't fix. Lord, send a rain. Let it rain. We welcome you. We want you. We desire. We're open to the move of your spirit, for the for the declaration of your gospel. Jesus said, pray for laborers. We can pray for laborers to be raised up in our city. And we can ask God to reign, move, influence this city like you've never done before. Not because you have to, not because you don't want to, but because we ask you to do it. We want you. We authorize it. We desire it. We release your spirit to move again in this place. How many of you believe we have the authority to do that? Let me ask you this. Can you do that in your life? Yes. Certainly you could. Jesus said, if any man thirsts, let him come to me and drink. In other words, he's not going to fill you himself, but you've come to him, then you can get all you want. How many of you can do it in your own home? Certainly. You can ask God and yield to the Lord and let him move in your home. And there can be an anointing on your home that's evident. Well, why can't we extend that to our own city and our own nation? I believe we certainly can because we have authority here. We're here in this planet. We have a vote. We matter. We have a voice. We're not the only voice, but we are a voice. And God recognizes that. This is that was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Listen to this picture and just desire it. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. On my men servants and on my maid servants. This isn't just for the up and comers. This isn't just for the ministry gifts. This is for everybody, young and old, least and greatest. On every level, he said, I'm going to pour out my spirit. There's going to be prophesying and dreams and visions. On my men servants and on my maid servants, I'll pour out my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. And I'll show wonders in the heaven above and signs on the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. And the sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass. Here it is. Here's harvest. That whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's the picture I have on the inside. I want to see that in my generation. I want to see all manner of spiritual gifts in operation. I want to see young and old. I want to see rich and poor moved by the Spirit of God, carrying out the will of God on the earth. Let God make a statement through healings and miracles, signs and wonders. Can you say amen? Not because we deserve it. We certainly don't. The world doesn't deserve it. The United States doesn't deserve a move of God, neither does England. But we're not here because of what we deserve. We're here because God loves the world. God's not mad at the world. God's not bitter, and he's not afraid, and he's not worried. God's ready to receive whosoever will. Amen. Would you stand with me? Stand with me. I tell you, I get on to this subject, I could talk all night, but I don't want to do that to you. We have tomorrow. We're going to give you some concrete scriptures, steps to take. In fact, we've talked about this. Ben's got some things he's going to add to it as an area of prayer. But I've been promoting these meetings in the U.S., and we call them Pursuing Revival Meetings. And the promo is, you know, are you tired of worrying about the direction of your country? Are you tired of getting angry about it or criticizing and worrying and complaining? You ready to do something about it? We can take part in an activity that's been going on as long as the church has been alive. It's called prayer, and prayer works. The last thing we want to do, though, is waste our time. We want to pray prayers that are scriptural, that are effective. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. So there are just certain scriptures we can use. And then we have the advantage that we can pray in the Holy Ghost. And if our theology is not quite right, the praying in the Holy Ghost will just fill in all the gaps, won't it? Make it all right, perfect prayer. But as much as I love redemption and I know the finished work of Christ is finished, I have a desire to pray. Pray and pray and pray and pray. I had an opportunity a few years ago for a great ministry job for me. It was a perfect fit, and it was very difficult. I prayed about it, and I said, "No, I can't take this position. I can't. And I went home, and I said, "God, why? Why didn't I? Why couldn't I? I'd have been set for life. I'd have been. It's perfect for me." And he showed me a picture of a rowboat. Sometimes he speaks to me in pictures, and he said, "Your ministry's not very flattering." He said, "Your ministry's like a rowboat." I said, "Yeah, I understand that. It's not a yacht, not a cruise ship. It's a rowboat. And in the rowboat, you have two oars, and one oar in your ministry, not everybody's, but in your ministry, one oar is preaching and teaching." And he said, "You've really focused on that, and you've worked on that, and you've tried to do more meetings, longer meetings, better meetings, more teaching, more preaching." He said, "But the other oar is prayer." And he said, "You know what happens when you just take one oar and you row as hard as you can go? You just go in circles." I said, "Lord, I can identify with that." And he said, "If you'll put as much effort into prayer as you have in preaching, then you're going to get where you're going." So I went back to Tulsa, and I rented an office, and I made it into a prayer room. And I haven't been as faithful as I could have been, but I don't know. I feel like I got my second wind, and we are praying. We are praying. The world needs for the church to pray. Hallelujah. How many of you want to join me this week and just spend some time praying for our world? Praying unselfish prayers, praying for others. So the Lord lets us experience part of what it is to stand in the gap with Him and be that liaison, that intercessor between God and man. And He does that through prayer. Father, we thank You. We thank You for the Holy Spirit. We thank You for our position as sons and daughters of God. And help us to look on the needs of others, to be touched even as You are with the feelings of their infirmities, and stand in the gap to present the needs of others to You, not as if You didn't know it, but we know You have knowledge of these things even before we ask. But we're still told to ask. And so we do ask. We ask that hearts be awakened. We ask that lives would be stirred by the Spirit of God. Maybe entire neighborhoods where You've not been invited and You've not been accepted, Lord, we ask You to move on them, influence them by Your Holy Spirit. Cause them to begin to hunger for truth. Let that spark begin to generate in their spirits where they begin to search and to seek and to ask the right questions. To begin to seek for truth and for relief, for salvation, for the Savior. You're the one, Lord, that said that the Holy Spirit would come and He would convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Do that, we pray, in our world. Let us sense the waves of the Spirit. Let us sense another wave, another outpouring, another visitation, another great awakening in our lifetime, we pray. Raise up laborers that would preach Your word with no fear, with no compromise. Send them forth, not just preachers, but business people and housewives and men servants and maid servants and every level, anointed by Your Spirit, speaking the word of God with power. Thank You, Holy Spirit. Help us, the church, to release the forces of righteousness to work in our generation like never before. In the name of Jesus. A spirit of prayer. The spirit of prayer would come upon us. And we would yield to that spirit of grace and supplication. Seek the face of God for something bigger than ourselves. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank You, Father. Thank You, Father. Thank You, Father. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Jesus said, this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in every nation. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. The experts, those that make their living predicting the future, didn't see Brexit as even a possibility. Neither did they see Donald Trump as being elected president. Completely blindsided the world and all the experts. Let the next surprise be the encounter of the modern world with the power of the Holy Ghost. Let that be the next event that catches them by surprise. And let millions and millions of souls come into the kingdom because of it. Let it be bigger than the vision of a ministry or a man. Yes. Let it be the plan and purpose of God fulfilled in our lifetime. And up to now, I don't know that we've done a very good job of being salt and light. The world's getting pretty ugly, but it's not over yet. It's not over yet. Right. And there's no place that's so dry that rain won't make a difference. Hallelujah. 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 Sometimes when we come together and we land on something that pleases God's heart, you can feel it in the air. And I believe these subjects please Him. Amen. I know you have needs, and we can get a lot of people in here if we said, hey, God's going to meet all your needs tonight. Every answer to every need, every prayer is going to be. And we do a lot of that. How many of you know we spend a lot of time sharing the grace of God, what God's done. But let's take not every session. We've got some nights. We're going to have a healing night tomorrow. But let's take some time and say, Lord, we want your vision to be fulfilled. We want your dream to come to pass. And we're going to put that on front and center here. Use us as a voice, as a prayer people, to bring God's will to pass. Hallelujah. Oh, my, I'm glad I came tonight. I'm glad I came. Pastor, why don't you come and just take it from here.
Thank you so much.
Awesome. Awesome. You know, that picture of the rowboat has just resonated with me so much. You know, I'm humble enough to stand here and tell you that Tree of Life Family is one of the best teaching networks of churches in this country. Without the shadow of a doubt. You come to us, you will get taught well. But God is putting this raw, and it's not prayer like, oh God help, oh God. It's prayer that we fellowship with the Father, that we walk with Him in the cool of the garden, that we know His will, that we flow with His Spirit, that like Greg said, that we see all the gifts of the Spirit operate. We just see a flow of what God has for us. Man, if this is where this conference starts, who knows where it's going to go. Man, I'm excited. So let's just dismiss this meeting, please. Two things. Number one, don't forget.